The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, one of the things that we often think about at Christmas time is Christmas trees. And I'm just wondering, has anyone put up their Christmas tree like really early? So like, is anyone here who is a pre-November? Oh, yes. All right. We have some pre-November Christmas tree here. What about the November people? Who put their tree up in November? Yeah. Okay. Quite a number. All right. Who leaves it to the last week? All right. All right. There's all sorts there. You know, when we think of Christmas, we think of a number of different things. We think about Christmas trees. We think about lights that get put in the Christmas trees, lights that might be put around the house or around the house yard. We think of the wrapping of the presents, the putting the presents under the tree. And for children going, I wonder what's in this one. And then there is the singing of carols. Every one of these things, whether it's the tree, the lights, the presents, the carol singing, all of these are things that are associated with Christmas. And we've been talking about every one of these over the last number of weeks. Well, Christmas Day has finally arrived. And many of you today will celebrate with food and with festivities. It's like a party, really. Many years ago, I was at a party. It was actually a surprise party for my auntie and uncle. It had all been arranged perfectly. Friends of theirs had arranged to take them out over to their place and have a nice early tea. Meanwhile, we all arrived at the house, decorated the house, brought out all the food, parked the cars around the corner so they're out of sight. And then the friends who'd hosted our aunt and uncle then rang to say they're just leaving. They'll be there soon. So we all turned the lights off. We waited. And we waited. And we waited. And then the hosts who'd invited them round for a meal, they arrived. And we thought, well, if they've arrived, surely aunt and uncle should have got here by now. And so we waited. And we waited. We're about to give up. They finally arrived. Well, what had happened? Well, they'd said to themselves, we've enjoyed such a nice early tea, let's go to the movies. And so they'd gone off to the cinema, they'd sat there, looked at what was on, and then went, no, nothing here appealing, and decided to come home to their surprise party that almost wasn't. What would you do if the guest didn't turn up for the party? Now, if Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Christ, shouldn't Christ be the center of Christmas? But what if he's missing? Because in so many celebrations of Christmas in our community, Jesus seems to be missing in action. Whether it's the carols in the shopping centers, whether it's the decorations, so many places where we just don't see Christ even mentioned or celebrated. And so you might ask yourself the question, who stole Christ out of Christmas? If you've been in the main street and you drive past City Hall in Toowoomba, you'd have seen this nativity scene set up. It's a beautiful nativity scene, and they set it up for a few weeks before Christmas. And yet over the years, the baby Jesus has been stolen twice. Who steals Jesus? It takes serious effort to steal the baby Jesus from City Hall. That's a tall fence with sharp things on top. So today, let us return Christ to Christmas. Let us see why he is the reason that we celebrate Christmas. And there's two important words that are going to help us. They both start with the letter I. The first is the word Emmanuel. And the second is the word incarnation. Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it tells us about Joseph. Joseph was the earthly father of Jesus, and he is processing the news that his betrothed, if you like, his fiancée, is pregnant, and he knows that he is not the father. And so he's exploring his options, he's trying to work out what to do, and in that he's actually been considerate of Mary and of himself. And it says in Matthew 1, 22, 23, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It might seem a little confusing in this passage because it seems that Jesus is going to get two names. You'll give him the name Jesus, and then the prophet Isaiah had said they'll call him Emmanuel. Well, the first name Jesus means that he will save people from their sins, and Jesus would become the actual name for this baby. So then why does Matthew quote from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament saying they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us? In case you're wondering, no, Emmanuel didn't become his middle name. No, it stayed as Jesus. Jesus was his name. But Emmanuel is a description of who he was. God with us. And so that's the meaning of the word Emmanuel, God with us. But the significance of that is the second word I mentioned, starting with I, and that's the word incarnation, which means God became flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, the word became flesh. That's incarnation. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so today we're going to look at these three words, word, became, flesh. And when we think of the word is Jesus. And so when we read from John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. In other words, this is saying in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God. The word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So in other words, what we see is God made the whole world with all the amazing wonder of earth, sea and sky. And God made life. He made Adam and Eve to look after creation and to enjoy a perfect relationship with him. However, Adam and Eve did not remain in that perfect relationship with God because they disobeyed God, and with disobedience and sin comes consequences. And these consequences included being removed from the Garden of Eden, where they'd been living in perfect peace. Furthermore, sin introduced death into creation. And it's not possible for humans to deal with the consequences of sin and death. But God could. And so in the next verse, John 1:4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. See, in the beginning, we see there was the Word. And we see that the Word brought life. In God was life, and only through God, who created life in the beginning, could the power of sin and death be undone. But that meant that God needed to become human, to become the sacrifice for humanity. So God became man. And that leads us to the second word, became. We read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, the word birth there in the original language is the word Genesis. The Genesis of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. Jesus is the one who in the book of Genesis is described as creating the world. And Jesus is now experiencing another Genesis through the birth to his mother Mary, but conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Word became flesh. But what if Jesus had no earthly parent? What if he just turned up on earth? A bit like Superman, you know, how he just crashes into earth. Well, what if Jesus had just turned up on earth with no earthly parents? That'd be really hard for us to actually identify with him. We would find it hard to believe he could identify with us as humans. We would struggle to say God with us if he was not truly born as a human baby. But what if Jesus had two earthly parents? If he had two earthly parents, then it would be impossible for him to be fully God, since his origin would have been the same as everyone else. But in the incarnation, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, satisfying the God requirement, but born of a virgin woman, satisfying the human requirement. It's both. We read in Philippians 2 verse 7, rather he made himself nothing. This is Jesus. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. This is what we're celebrating today. This is what we celebrate on Christmas Day. God humbling himself as a servant to become flesh. Flesh means human. We see in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. In other words, Jesus was flesh. He was fully human. He grew in wisdom. Growing in wisdom means that he grew in knowledge, facts. He grew in understanding. And as he brought those facts together and that understanding together, it gives wisdom. And Jesus grew in wisdom. But he also grew in stature. That means he grew physically from a breastfed baby into a toddler, a child, teenager, an adult, just like we do. And like every one of us, Jesus experienced all of the range of things that we experience. The Bible tells us that he got hungry. The Bible tells us he got tired, that he showed emotions, that he loved, that he felt sorrow, that he felt anger. In fact, he was so human that when he went home to the village where he grew up, they could only relate to him and understand him as a human, with a mum and a dad and a brothers and sisters. Because in Matthew 13, we read, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they ask? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So it's really clear to his fellow hometown residents that Jesus was born as a human baby. They'd seen him grow up just like his brothers and sisters. Mind you, I think it would have been really tough being James, Joseph, Simon or Judas. Could you imagine Mary saying, why can't you be good like your older brother Jesus? He never did those things. No pressure, right? But as a human, there was one difference between Jesus and all of us. Jesus did not sin. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 17 it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus was fully human, but unlike all other humans, he did not sin, meaning that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Although Jesus was fully human, he was also fully God. As God, as the Word, Jesus had authority over nature. Just as he had created in the beginning, he continued to exercise this authority. Like when he spoke to the storm, he only needed to say two words, be still, and the storm calmed. As God, Jesus had power over disease. He healed the sick, the blind, the deaf, the mute. He caused the lame to walk and the lepers to become clean. Jesus healed people. And as God, he had authority over sin. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 to 7, we see that some men brought to him, that is to Jesus, a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat and go home." Then the man got up and went home. Jesus forgave people their sins. When sin first came into creation, it caused death. But as God, Jesus brought life into creation. He had authority over death. Jesus raised a young girl from death to life. Jesus raised a widow's son from death to life. Jesus raised a man called Lazarus who had been dead for 4 days from death to life. Jesus himself, having been crucified and laid in a tomb, was raised from death to life. Jesus was fully God while also being fully human. And because Jesus was fully human, and because he lived a life without sin, only he could deal with the sin of humans. As both fully God and fully man, Jesus was uniquely able to do what no other person could do. Only God could save us from our sins. And yet only a human could become a sacrifice for humanity. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. Today we celebrate the birth of a baby boy. The birth of Jesus. The name Jesus means he would save us from our sins. At Christmas we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the one who would be named Emmanuel, because he is God with us. At Christmas we celebrate the incarnation. God became flesh, because only God could bring life from death and defeat sin. And yet only a human could faithfully represent humanity as a sacrifice for our sins. Christmas celebrates God being born as the Christ. And this is the greatest gift of all. It's the greatest gift ever. And through this gift, each of us can receive forgiveness of our sins. Each of us can receive new life in Christ. Each of us can be restored back into relationship with God. This is the greatest Christmas gift ever. Today I pray that you will celebrate the true meaning of Christmas with your family and your friends. Let us pray. Today we come to celebrate Christmas. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus Christ, a little boy born to save us from our sins. Lord, thank you that Jesus is the Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, God, that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. Thank you that because he was fully God, we can relate to Jesus, because we too struggle. And the struggles that we experience, he also experienced. Thank you that because he was fully God, he could overcome the power of sin and death, something that we are not able to do. But thank you that because Jesus won victory over sin and death, we can receive forgiveness of our sins and we can be restored back into relationship with God. So Lord, help us today to live life to the fullest, to celebrate with family and friends. And may God bless each and every one of you this day. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.